I came to Africa with this idea in my head that I could learn about the power of blackness in Africa. That's something that could radicalize me. But in the film, actually, I just quickly discovered that's not true.
Yeah, why Africa? Why not look right here in America?
Well, when you look at the global politics of race, the story of race really begins in Africa. You know, when the Europeans first arrived in Africa in the 15th century, this is where blackness begins. They said that these black people were lesser than them, the Europeans, the white people. And so that's really the story of where blackness begins, is they enslaved Africa, robbed it of its resources, and then the story took off, where black people didn't just say, you know, they didn't concede the fact that, okay, I'm going to be a slave. Ever since slavery began, they've been constantly resisting, you know. So I wanted to go to the birthplace of blackness and see that for myself, like, where does blackness begin?
What did you find?
I quickly found that...
Or what did you not find that you thought you were going to find?
I would say I did not find my idea of power, and I did not find this conception that these black people were going to teach me. You know, because I came to Africa with this idea that I would learn power, and I didn't. Because in reality, Africans do not exist to teach me, you know, power. They just exist to be human. And I quickly realized that how human African people are. Like, they watch cat videos for fun. They have, like, kids. They go to work. They play on their cell phones. One kid kept stealing my phone to play Doodle Jump, you know, like, there's normal people. And that might sound like, you know, like a very simple statement, but to go there for me and actually live in that for 3 months, it really forced me to, like, look on myself. So, like, how am I defining other people? Like, is it right for me to say that black people have to be activists? Is it right for me to define blackness? Like, because really what they want to be is they just want to be human.
So a lot of us in this country, and not just white people, but black people, you know, other people of color, we are sort of all socialized to look at each other in a certain way. And it sounds like you're admitting you were kind of socialized to think of Africans a certain way.
Yeah, I most definitely was. That's one of the biggest themes of the movie, was me confronting my own racism.
Really?
Yeah. Like, for example, one of my first memories of me looking at my own racism was me walking in the airport.
In here or?
In the Netherlands, you know, going to the Ghana terminal.
Okay.
And slowly, you know, the colors of the people start changing as I get to the Ghanaian terminal. And I have these subconscious thoughts running in my head. It's like, oh, I should have gone somewhere cleaner, somewhere neater, somewhere nicer. You know, why was I thinking these things? Because suddenly all these black people were around me. And this is racist. And it was just very scary for me to confront this thought in my head. But in reality, like, this exists in me. And that was something I had to confront really early on, is that I felt less comfortable around these people because they were black. And I consider myself an activist. I consider myself an ally, you know? So that really pushes the theme of the movie, is that, are we who we think we are? You know, who are we really in this racially divided world? Have we been able to transcend racism in ourselves? And I don't think we have. At least I don't think. I definitely haven't.
So you're technically a person of color in the United States, and that it's a white dominant culture, mm-hmm. which is slowly changing. But how have you felt that you fit into the whole idea of white privilege in America?
Well, in America, you know, I never thought I fit into white privilege, in a sense. I knew I had a lot of privilege, being that I come from a wealthy family, that I'm male, cisgender, heterosexual. But what really struck me in my white privilege was when I came to Africa, and they called me Obruni, which means white man. You know, and first I was really, like, pissed off at this. I was like, no, I'm colored like you. Yeah. I thought, like, maybe, like, my brown skin would make me, you know, less of an outsider in Ghana. But in reality, you know, that's not true. To them, I'm very white. Because whiteness is more than skin color. Whiteness really is privilege. You know, when you have a lot of money, this is whiteness, in a sense. When you have the ability to travel to different countries just for pleasure, or in my case, to learn things, to take power, you know, this is whiteness. This is a white This is a phrase I use in the film called the white supremacist mindset, you know, that we can go to other countries and take things.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, what religion are you?
I'm practicing Buddhism. Culturally, I was raised as a Hindu.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm like dabbling in other practices.
I would imagine in this country, you could be easily confused as someone who's Muslim.
Most definitely.
And you probably get that, don't you?
Not personally. You know, I haven't like had people, you know, but it is definitely like a rampant thing. And, you know, it is like, for example, like me going to airports, that is something that I worry about. Is like, before I came back, I had a really big beard. And like, you know, I had these fancy pants. I was looking very brown, you know, and I was actually stopped at airport security once in Ghana, you know.
For?
They didn't think I looked like my passport at all. And so they were just a little worried about like, you know, who is this kid?
Well, what are some of the slights you received back home before you went over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I touch on the film too, is that for someone like me, I'm like, it's a weird middle zone in the sense that, you know, I'm a brown person, but I'm also very privileged. And the way that racism has impacted me is extremely subtle. Like, I grew up constantly, like, every kid watching TV. And I constantly saw these white characters on TV. I saw white mainstream characters. I saw white people falling in love. I saw white people achieving their dreams on TV. You know, I saw white people having, you know, full emotions and full lives. And never brown people. They were always the sidekicks or the joke characters. And so I internalized that. You know, I would go to school and I would see all these white kids and I'd want to hang out with the white kids, not the brown kids, because, you know, the media impacts us so many ways. And then in our world, whiteness is normal. You know, that's a huge lesson that media teaches us at a young age. Whiteness is normal. Whiteness is human. Growing up, I was quickly becoming not fond of my brown skin in the sense that, you know, we all have like these dream lives, I guess, like we all like daydream, like, oh, I wish I had this new car or this cool new video game. Like my daydream was be like, it'd be really cool if like I was just like white. If like I went to church, you know, if I did like these white kid things, if I played baseball or if I brought in chicken nuggets for lunch instead of like, you know, my roti and sub-G. You know, that was my subconscious daydream as a kid. And looking back, I realize now like how terrible is this? How like ashamed I was of my culture, but these are the lessons that media teaches us, a lot of us brown kids as we grow up, is that, you know, whiteness is normal.
How are you reversing that?
Well, now that I'm conscious of it, you know, I definitely see that, like, I'm a lot more proud of my culture. You know, I spent my first semester in India and Nepal, and that was a really good opportunity for me, like, as someone who was actualizing, you know, the realities of becoming brown in America. At the time, like, it was really good for me to go to my culture and feel more at home there. Well, I don't feel fully at home because I'm still very American. It was good to, like, be around people my color. Like, I enjoy spending time more with, like, other brown people. And I'm just, like, slowly learning more about Indian culture again. Like, I'm going to India again in July.
Okay.
So I'm very excited for that.
You were born in America.
Yeah,
I was. Before you went to Africa, you had a certain perception of black people. And you talked about your experience over there. Now that you're back home, how has that perception changed?
I mean, I'm really working on the idea that black people are just human beings and that I can't define them. You know, before I went to Africa, I had this definition of blackness, that black people are powerful, that black people have to be beautiful, you know, but they don't. They're just people like you and I. And that's a very basic concept. But in reality, in our racist culture, it's very hard to embody in our minds, in my mind specifically.
How difficult is that for, as you describe yourself, an American Indian in this culture, which is kind of either black or white? How difficult is that for you?
It's very confusing.
You're different than the conversation a lot of us are having about black and white.
Yeah, I am, like I said before, I'm in this weird middle zone, like where I can't necessarily identify with white privilege, but I can't. But And a lot of times it can be isolating, but there are a lot of brown people in this country too who are, like, through social media, who are, like, speaking about their experiences as brown Americans and, you know, first-gen Americans too, who are speaking up about that. Just on Twitter this morning, I was reading through this hashtag, growing up with brown skin, you know, and there's so many stories out there of people who have felt the same way I have felt. But then there's also so many things that are unique to me in my life. Like, what have I gone through in my life that has made it harder for me to fit into this white world? So in some cases, like, I do have support. You know, there are the brown Americans around me. But in a lot of ways, it's also very emotionally intensive for myself to fully actualize, like, who am I? What have I gone through in the face of this white world that only likes a certain type of person?
From the time you conceptualized this whole trip and film and to now, how is the film different than what you imagined it might be?
Oh, wow, it's a lot different, actually. You know, when I first started making this film, I had this idea that, you know, I would find these beautiful things in black culture and it would just be about that. And it would focus on blackness itself. You know, this is why blackness is beautiful. But I quickly, you know, as I was getting it more into my experience in Ghana and the film, I was quickly realizing I can't define blackness. I have no right to do that. In reality, I can only speak from my point of view. So it really became for me talking about this thing that I don't know about, to me talking about my own experiences, both in Africa, and then reflecting on my experiences growing up brown in America and learning to be authentic with myself.